T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Wants to get paid, understanding that he may be traded. His mind is full of different emotions. It's, you know, coming, winding down, last time being at that park. When you drive into a facility and you put your key card and you're able to go in, if it's like home. You know that you can go in that clubhouse, that locker room, your facility, and boom, you walk around, everyone says hi. You don't need anything because you're a part of it. It's you. And then all of a sudden, you're no longer there. Or you're getting ready to not be there, and you go, and it feels just different. It's a different aura, you know? You walk out to the mound, you look at certain things, your body, your mind, mentally. I remember going, being in New Orleans, and understanding, this is probably my last year here. And you go into the locker room, you drive in, and you're like, man, okay, I'm here. You look around different people, you say hi to certain people, and it's just different. You feel different. People look at you and view you different, whether you believe it or not, or maybe you're like, am I overthinking it? You know, like you're high and you're like, oh, man, am I overthinking this? Are they really thinking?
No, I don't know what that is.
Well, that's
like
what I've heard.
And I also have read those stories.
And it's like,
this guy.
Just giving real emotions, coach. All right, Daniel, I'm sorry.
No, bring it home.
I was home.
We're home.
What was on with the draft tonight? We actually were talking about this morning. I don't know if I've ever gotten this story from you. You were a member of the Chargers when Eli was drafted number one and said no.
Right.
What was that like? Were you watching the draft that day? Because I was in San Diego. I remember watching the draft thinking, this is bizarre.
You remember it happening. And you're like, wow, this is kind of weird.
Did you feel insulted?
No, you didn't. You don't care, really. You're like, wow, what are we going to do? And, you know, you bring in Phillip Rivers. But it is a weird motion. It is a weird situation, though, when you see a guy drafted, he doesn't hold the hat, and you're like, okay. And
are you sitting around watching this draft because you got an early pick?
Oh, yeah. All right. You're sitting around watching it.
And this guy gets up there, and he holds the jersey. No.
Right.
Yeah. Right. I'm not going there.
Sour.
I know. It's just all-time Eli face.
Little did we know that was his normal resting face, resting Eli face.
Yeah, he was saying, I want to go here. I just can't make another expression.
That's
so
all
Archie's
I have.
Archie's going to move me.
Right.
Oh, we won the Super Bowl.
Right.
And all twice.
But all the players like, okay, we're going to remember this. You're going to remember this. And we played them. We motorboated them. They came to San Diego. And every time we played them, I mean, shoot, LT think had 198 yards rushing that game. You know,
I remember that. You had three. It was 2005. That was when I had my season tickets. You had three primetime games. You had the Raiders on Sunday night. You had the Giants on Sunday night. And I want to say the Steelers on Monday night. And I'm pretty sure you lost the Raider and Steeler games, but they were competitive.
Yes.
But the Giant game, because I had all these Giants friends from the East Coast that came out, and that was supposed to be a good season for them, and they lost that game, and they were so mad in the tailgate afterwards. They all wanted to go home. They didn't want to stay and drink.
Right.
It's Sunday night. It's like, let's keep pounding.
We got them, too.
45-23 is the final as I punch up the box score.
Those are big numbers.
Where are you going to go, Punchy? What else do you have?
Your brain, and, you know, God love you for all your great quirks, but your ability to recall information. You said LT had 198 yards.
Yeah.
He had 192, Coach, on 21 carries.
Find that impressive? He's off by 6 yards. It's 18 feet.
It's 14 years ago. Just one of the 240 games he played.
Right. You know what, Daniel? Thank you.
You know what, Lowe?
Why are you doing that?
Before he tries to ruin it.
Setting the bar low like Dibley. Dibley doesn't even set a bar. He lays a string on the carpet. If you can stumble across it, it's considered a success.
I went back into the archive and had to pull that off. We're just on the fly. Yeah. That was pretty impressive. How many
yards did you have is the question.
I don't know.
Two totes.
I was just blowing people up.
Three yards.
That was hurtful.
Well,
hit 14, Coach. You couldn't stop.
14. What was his long? Was it two good carries or was it one big carry?
Nine. He had a 9 and a 5.
A 9 and a 5. Look at you.
I never would have guessed that. I would have thought it was more years.
Yep. Leading right back to his amazing recall.
But that
doesn't even recall his own game.
Yeah, you know what? I should probably.
Yeah, there you go. Back it up.
Back it up, Coach.
And why don't
you're
you
right.
apologize while you're
that's humility right there. That's what it comes
no,
down
not.
To.
Just
thinking
it's,
of
it's
others.
It's absence of thought.
Welcome back, Lou.
Humility.
Oh my God. I tell you, the LT has over 190, and that freaking, that's pretty spot on.
Said 198, he had 192.
Yeah.
Your ballpark, which is nice.
Is that ballpark? Give me a little. Anywho.
Oh, come on, Lou.
As he wow. looks back, staring down at this guy. You missed us, didn't you?
Yeah. And wait a minute, real quick. And for the text line to say,
as you see me reaching for the papers.
LA, the game's in LA. I don't give a damn if it's in LA. I wasn't talking about, I'm just talking about in general with Madison right. Bumgarner.
Don't get
and
caught up
gonna go talk, it's in LA. I wasn't even. Man, you guys, welcome back me. And this how you guys going to do me, text line? Fine.
I would love to just hear the audio of what just happened again. Oh, you guys are.
Thank you. Love you,
oh,
too.
Oh, man. All right.
Love
we you, got though. Greg Papa coming up next. The report on Kevin Durant and what the Warriors are trying to get done with him, as well as everything regarding tonight's draft. All that's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
It's draft day on 95.7 The Game. Joe Lowe and Dibs talk to the Godfather, Greg Papa, at 8:30. Followed by our Warriors insider, Mark Spears, at 9. We're live from Warriors HQ starting at noon with special guests Bob Myers, Steve Kerr, and more on the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7. The Game. Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
All right, let's get after it. Greg Pop is going to join us on the Dialpad guest line in about 13 minutes at 8:30. One of the questions we will ask him pertains directly to the audio you are about to hear. Brian Windhorst, NBA insider, ESPN, on ESPN's Get Up this morning, talking about the Warriors, Kevin Durant, and what they may be thinking.
One of the things that is being discussed right now is that the Golden State Warriors would offer Kevin Durant a 5-year contract, $57 million extra that he could get with signing elsewhere, let him rehab, and then work with him to be traded, potentially to New York, potentially to somewhere else, be their way to sort of take care of him monetarily after what he just went through, and also protect the franchise to get some assets.
Warriors, Durant, reach an agreement on a 5-year, $220 million deal. And then after a year of rehab here, the Warriors trade him to another team and thus acquire assets in return. Likelihood of this scenario playing out?
I don't think it's very likely, but it's a possibility because if you're Kevin Durant, you're looking at a kind of a leap of faith, in my opinion, that the Warriors are going to trade you to the place that you really want to go. You're a free agent and you control your own destiny right now. So it's one thing to take all that money, and that's $57 million more than you could make, yet it does kind of hamstring you as far as your own freedom, as far as where you want your next destination to be. So I would say that this scenario is about 30% chance that it'll happen, so not that likely, in my opinion.
Before we follow up, what is that intoxicating aroma? What am I smelling? Did someone get like a latte or something? What is that?
A little coffee.
It's just coffee?
Yeah.
You didn't put any? It's just black coffee?
With the creamer.
Smells,
smells
nice.
Good. Oh, good.
Kind of like mocha.
It smells lovely.
Yeah, I love the smell. Nice aroma. Just hits your nose. You're like, oh, it feels good.
Yeah.
I think.
Suddenly you really don't care about what happens to Durant. Hopefully he's happy and everyone else is happy.
Well, that puts you in a really nice mood. The smell.
Good.
Puts you
smells
in
nice.
Wow.
Also, you know, 5 for being late because of that drink.
No, Curly. He's in there talking to me, going over stuff.
Just ignore him.
My man.
Exactly. My man. That was great when you were talking about with New Orleans and, you know, about Madison. I was to keep it. And I was just like, can I get back? So anyway, I disagree with you when you're talking about 30% for Kevin Durant. I mean, this is beautiful. This is absolutely beautiful. You think about what the Warriors did. He was going to leave out of the building. You're going to get nothing for him after this season. Nothing. Bye-bye. Now you have a situation to get the guy a 5-year deal. Yeah, it's going to cost you. But what is that going to do for you? Because you can get a king's ransom for Kevin Durant if he comes back healthy. So I think that this 30%, I think it's hogwash.
What do you think the likelihood of this scenario playing out? Durant and the team work together, 5-year, $220 million max. Durant goes ahead and rehabs the year with the team and then works with the team to be traded elsewhere.
Well, I'll tell you what, lock it up. I mean, just like Dibs is on the 30, I think this is that take that's going to have to be revisited. I think it behooves both parties to get this thing done. So not 30%, not 40%, not 50, not 60.
It's the yodeler we're climbing here.
Exactly. Not 70, not 80, but 100%.
Whoa, 100.
He's talking about 30%.
Well, Dibs, what's more likely in your opinion than the scenario Windhorse is laying out?
That he signs elsewhere? That he goes now and just takes his free agency? That way he can pick where he wants to go. If you stay here and you get more money, fine. Then, for one, you subject yourself to additional questions about where is he going to go, where does he want to go, what's the most likely destination. And it seems to me that he didn't want to go through that again after this year. He was, you know, complaining about all y'all want to talk about what's happening next year. You should just talk about what's happening now. By staying here under this scenario, it just kicks that same can down the road additionally. So that, to me, is a big reason.
But you got 57 million reasons why. You know, it's a little different now. The hay's in the barn with this situation.
I would say, yeah, wouldn't you want the extra money? You're going to sit out regardless. Wouldn't you want the extra money? And then knowing you can get this far ahead of the trade scenario and trying to maneuver which team takes you, take the extra $57 million, you're rehabbing one way or another, and then try to control your landing spot?
I was a guy who said that I thought he would stay the entire time.
Correct.
So maybe he gets a five-year deal and he stays, and they don't trade him. To me, the whole idea of signing him to a five-year deal and then trading him, it seems to me to be too much of a pie-in-the-sky idea.
That's the shrewdness of the whole concept. The Warriors look good by making the offer. Obviously, you're not going to hang the guy out to dry after he came out and played well for you in Game 5, but then suffered that brutal injury. So the optics look good. The shrewdness of the matter, you give yourself a whole additional year to recruit this guy to stay in the Bay Area. Very clever. That part's being missed by most on this. And then number three, the idea that you get assets in return should he leave versus what would have happened had he just left after the season anyway, you get nothing in return. What's the likelihood in this scenario that you do this, right? You offer five at 220, he accepts, but instead of a year of rehab and then a trade, you trade him by this year's deadline. Not because someone's going to use him to win this year, but because a team's out there thinking, things aren't going our way. We want to make a move for Durant, but the problem is, if we wait till the offseason, that's when everyone's going to make their move. What if we pull off something right now that works for Durant and also works for the Warriors? And then next year at the trade deadline, suddenly he moves, assets come in, Klay at some point comes back from the ACL, Steph and Draymond are there, you got these three draft picks you're making later tonight. Championship. Another championship.
Oh,
Chase Center opens
turnkey
with a ring.
Nice.
Boom. Solved your problems, Joe.
But I know you're probably joking, but no, I think that's not far-fetched.
I mean, if you're another team and you want him, and this is the scenario that's playing out, you're going to look for every possible angle with which you could acquire him.
And if you sign him now, like you're saying, here's the upside to that, Joe, like you're just alluding to. Now, guess what? I get to now say people are questioning the training staff. We know that, and everyone's saying, hey, all the injuries, it's going to be kicked around. You saw what happened in San Francisco with the Niners. Training staff's gone, out the door. Daniel, please stop shaking your head when I'm trying to make a point.
Make a point that is not head shake worthy, and I'll stop shaking my head.
Let him get there. You got to let him get there. He's
he stopped
it up
himself, Joe. And I non-verbally was expressing myself in my own way.
Nonsense.
And so now you're in a situation where the team can say, look, we don't necessarily want him with that training staff. So now I'm a trade for him. So now what does they get to do? Now the team has control. They can go through their rehab. They can do the things that they knew to do for Kevin Durant for that whole year. I don't think it's necessarily an outlandish ideal. I think that there would be some suitors still willing to say, let's make this thing happen. If they were to sign him, you know, in a couple weeks or a couple months, whenever this thing's happened, and do that five-year deal, I can see a team saying, I want to make sure that the rehab is with me.
Now, would you like to retort?
I think that makes more sense from an acquiring team standpoint. But again, I'm stuck on the notion of Kevin Durant then being privy to whatever best offer Golden State gets. What if it's a team that he doesn't want to go to? Let's just say, hypothetically, it's the Oklahoma City Thunder. They come in with such an unbelievable package that includes everybody but Russell Westbrook. And you got to go to KD and say, well, KD, you're getting traded to OKC. Sorry about that. Or you have to go rejoin James Harden with Houston. If you're Kevin Durant, I don't think you want to put yourself in that much of a vulnerable position. And plus, what we saw with Kawhi Leonard is, and Kevin Durant had his surgery not by a Warriors doctor or the Warriors team surgeon, but the same surgeon he used before, a guy who has connections to the New York Knicks, if I'm not mistaken.
The Nets.
So he could go and rehab his knee at the NBA office like Kawhi Leonard did. You can do whatever you want. So I don't think that the medical staff necessarily is that big of a factor in all this.
If you're willing to make this offer to him, despite the bum wheel, knowing he still might want to leave, why would you go through all of this just to trade him to a place he doesn't want to go to? Like, it sounds like the destination would be something they would all have
player
to agree
option.
To.
Absolutely.
Like, he's probably gone to him in this scenario, and I would imagine he would say, these are the teams as of now I'd be interested in. If we're going to consummate this, we're not going to come down the road in a year, and you're going to try to move me to Phoenix when I don't want to go there. That would end up just being a disaster because Phoenix would never want to do that deal because he ends up there and he's going to try to force his way out, and that's just going to be a nightmare.
Right, but then you're dealing with your organization to the point where you're going to subvert your goals as an organization and bend over backwards for a player to the extent that we're not going to take an offer as good as we possibly can because we want to make the player happy. So now at what point are we going too far from the optics and from the shrewdness, as you say, to where we have this asset, we're going to pay him $42 million to not play, and then we're going to trade him to the team that doesn't give us the best offer just because we want to appease him? To me, you're going too far to cut off your nose to spite your face.
See, this is where I think that New York and all those teams, that if they are in the mix, if those are teams that he says I'm limited to, these are the teams that I want to go to, they understand who he is. And those teams will cut off their nose to get Kevin Durant. That's what they will do. They will overpay. Hell, you see it happen all the time in football. Hell, Carson Wentz just got a freaking contract. What did he do? Didn't win a Super Bowl. They overpaid because...
Easy.
I'm not mean.
Set the stage for them to win a Super Bowl.
I wasn't trying to come down your road. I mean, you know what
Felt
I'm saying.
Felt like it. I mean, lot of reference points out there for you, and you went right for Old Faithful. I noticed.
The Raiders signed an offensive tackle that, because he played in New England, all of a sudden
Trent
you overpaid.
Brown.
Trent Brown. Did you really overpay? So you got to realize, teams will do whatever when they believe that their guy.
That's a good point.
So now if KD's in New York and he's training there and doing those things that you're talking about, the league office, people, you don't think he can pick up the phone and have a close practice and show people where he's at? Don't you think that make them salivate even more? Now they're going to come back and try to lowball you? I think it's a situation, if they want him, and then he's going to be like, do you want me or what? Then how's that look for him? So I think that this situation, if it's going to go down, I think that there's a bar already set that's in place. If this guy comes back to Kevin Durant, then the sky's the limit. Here's the medium. They're going to go off Anthony Davis. They got, you have so many things that out there that you can look at and say, here's what the market value is of this guy, and that's going to be it.
Phones are lit, so before we get to Papa, let's bring on a couple calls. Pat in Stockton. Pat, thank you for the phone call. Always great to hear from Stockton.
Dante,
what's
pizza.
Going on?
Man, this thing is so bizarre, but you guys haven't touched bases on the most important part of the potential trade. So let me get this right. Golden State's going to pay $40 million for him to rehab, sign him to the max deal, $40 million to rehab, then potentially trade him. It's not about where he goes. Wherever he goes, the other team's got to give up major assets. So that means he's going to a team that's going to be giving up major assets. So, I mean, how is that? I don't understand.
What do you mean by major assets? Like, give me an example of the major assets.
What do I mean? I mean, okay. Okay, you see what happened with Anthony Davis, right? I mean, isn't Durant at least on that caliber? So, I mean, you're talking about some really good player, potentially good player, and multiple draft picks. So the team that Durant gets traded to, they're pretty much going to be gutted.
All right. Interesting point. Very interesting point that's worth bringing up. I think there are some key differences to the scenario. Number one, Davis, younger, healthier, not coming off an Achilles, and the Pelicans had to create a scenario in which they got absolute max value. The Warriors are going to want max value. I don't think they're going to be sitting there in a scenario like this trying to get every last percentage point of value they can get in return. They'll be shrewd, no doubt. But if you're working together with him to move him, you're eventually going to agree to it. He makes a great point. You're not going to be able to pull off a trade with someone if you're going to clean them out in exchange for Durant. Maybe it involves some picks and a couple players, but you're getting something. That's the key. If you're going to give them how many millions just to rehab this year, you've got to get something in return. Am I off base there? I mean, he did make some really good points.
He did, and I think the thing that has me kind of stuck on it, too, is the idea of KD going to the Knicks. If he wants to go to the Knicks, what do the Knicks have from an asset standpoint coming back that would work from a salary match standpoint and a player personnel standpoint? And they don't have anything even close to fair compensation. So now you're getting a third team involved. Who would the third team partner be, and what would that look like? Because the Warriors would have to take some dead salary coming to them. Obviously, they would want some prospects. The Knicks would get Kevin Durant in this scenario, and the third team would have to be made whole either by Golden State or by New York. So to me, it's not as simple as we'll sign KD and then we'll trade you to the Knicks, because the Knicks don't have anything that the Warriors would want.
Blake in Belmont. Blake, thank you for the phone call. Your thoughts on the situation?
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. I had actually called in to Signing and Guru a few days ago and asked almost the same question. What if a sign-and-trade option came up so KD got his Supermax, but what team is going to bite on that? I know the Knicks are they're top of the list because they really want KD. They've got some options, at least with some picks. They've got some cap space, but, you know, except for DeAndre Jordan, who the Warriors might not even want, who on earth are they going to send back? I mean, are they going to send a number four pick? You know, whoever they draft at number four? And then, of course, like you said, possibly a third team. I mean, are we looking at, you know, somebody from the East or the West that really is wanting to get in on this to help balance it out? Because, yeah, nobody else has got $42 million worth of assets to give us back. All right, thanks, guys.
Appreciate the phone call. We will jump back into this more. But first, the Greg Popper Report is brought to you by Gelati Construction Company, celebrating over 100 years of teamwork, solutions, and excellence. As we head to the Dial Pad guest line and welcome Greg Papa in to Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Pop, good morning. Thank you for your time as always. We'll start with Brian Windhorst, NBA insider on ESPN's Get Up this morning, saying that the Warriors and Durant are working on something in which the Warriors would give him the max, he rehabs with Golden State for the year, and then they work together to find a suitable trade next offseason. What do you make of that report?
Well, we talked about it on the show yesterday, not in that form. We talked about it more where he wouldn't sign necessarily the max deal, but he could just opt in and then trade him, and then have him work out a deal with a new team later, very similar to what Chris Paul did. I think if you sign him to the max deal and then delay the trade, so it'd be a sign-delay trade, I think is the way Windhorst described it, there's no certainty on that. I mean, Kevin Durant, I would think, would want to go somewhere. Yes, a lot of things he's looking for in his next destination, if in fact he wants to leave the Warriors, and winning would be one. To pull off a transaction like that where bodies are coming the other way would weaken the team that he would be traded to. So I think you can talk about all kinds of scenarios with him, and but it's just so hard to predict the future a year from now. Also, his injury, you know, where is he going to be at a year from now? And will a team take him? As I've spoken many times about his injury history, it's a great concern. So they're talking about everything. I mean, every possible scenario is being laid out. What the one thing you have to like about it is the willingness and the relationship that Bob and Joe and the Warrior side of it have with Rich Kleiman. I mean, it's a great relationship, even though he wound up with a torn Achilles 10 nights ago. And that's just shattering. I mean, to think about what happened to him when we, you know, knew he had the calf injury, was there, and it developed into the worst possible scenario where he completely ruptured the Achilles tendon. That's so hard. So there would be bruised feelings there. It doesn't appear to be the case, and they are trying to work it out. So I think Durant, who's been inclined to do the one-on-ones throughout his time here with the Warriors for his own flexibility and, you know, being able to aid the roster to help facilitate, bring Andre and Sean back, and likewise with DeMarcus this past offseason, But it's a little complicated. I don't know. I think if you wanted to do that, you just sign them. I'm not even sure about the rules because there's a time where the sign and trade is not allowed. So maybe you have to delay it for a year. You guys may know more. The CBA is so complicated. I'm trying to get my head around the disabled player exception, which I think is interesting as well. If you knew Durant was going to play all of next year, you could get $9 million to buy another player, but then you have to multiply it by 600% of the penalty for the tax. So you're talking, you know, enormous money for one player at $9 million. So I don't know. I think, you know, you talk about everything, but I think this scenario would probably not give Durant the guarantee he's looking for, except he'd get the 5 years of $221.3 million. But there's just so many hypotheticals on, you know, how much say would he have on where he's traded? Could Kleiman execute the trade and the Warriors have to accept that? I mean, that's taken a lot of power away from the player, but he's in a different situation right now because he is hurt. So he's probably trying to figure out his next destination and, you know, get the full $221.3 million. But it's interesting when you look at the breakdown. I could easily make the point if he just took the 4 years, 164 with the new team, that if he's, you know, I don't even know what year that would be, but the fifth year that the Warriors would have him under contract, I think he could make that money back or close to it, you know, based on the earning potential 5 years down the road. So I'm not sure why that's a motivator, except the fact that he would get the money fully guaranteed, and he is coming off a very bad injury and still in the middle of rehabbing that.
Right, and you look at the revenue projections of the league. If he is able to rehab, he's probably a $50 or $55 million player by the time that fifth year would come about. A lot of hypotheticals pop about Kevin Durant, and the draft hypotheticals get solved tonight. We know the Warriors have acquired the Hawks pick at number 41. Of the three picks the Warriors will have tonight, what's your expectation for any or all of them being rotation guys?
Oh, that's so hard. I mean, 41 and 58 or later in the draft. I mean, even Manu Ginobili didn't start playing immediately. Tony Parker, Draymond Green did not play immediately. He had to get his way into the rotation. You don't know who's going to be available at that spot and where it's going to work. I honestly think that people like Jacob Evans III, last year's number 28 pick, is just going to be further along in the process. You don't know. You may be able to get a knockdown shooter, which they are you know, certainly in need of in light of the Clay and KD injury. You need more shooting. You need more wing defenders. You need guards. I don't know where Sean Livingston is. They're in uncharted territory here. They, you know, since Joe and Peter bought the team, you had Steph in place, and then, you know, the Larry Riley years and the Bogut and Monte Ellis trade, and that was a little bumpy. But right after that point, the team was clearly ascending and building and acquiring pieces bit by bit. And, you know, Bob's first draft, you hit it with Harrison, Festus, and obviously Draymond in the second round. And you've added pieces along the way. You're picking 30th or 28th, or some years you don't have a pick, or some years you have to buy a second-round pick. But they were clearly building. It's just different now in light of these two horrific injuries. You just don't know. Your needs change. I think their thought possibly for 28 changes. But to answer your question, it would be 28, obviously, over 41 or 58 because the guy's getting picked first or earlier.
Sure.
But it's just no guarantee if that player's going to be able to come in. You know, I don't think college basketball does as good of a job preparing players to play in the NBA as they did years ago. You know, Steph and Clay, and even look at Portland's young backcourt. You know, those guys stayed in school for a while, and they were able to develop. I think part of what you're looking at, and I think Jacob Evans III stayed in school for a little while there, but you want guys who are a little closer to being ready. So maybe, you know, you're not taking guys that only played 1 year or 2 years of college basketball. You're looking for more of the 3- and 4-year player that's just more ready to contribute right away. But that's an impossible. Even Bob, when they picked Jacob Evans III last year, was hopeful that he would go into the rotation, Dibs, and obviously he did not this year, so you have no idea.
Right. I totally agree with you, Pop. So what do you do when you alluded to earlier you know, with Kevin Durant, you know, he's out, so you can have that buy-in and play a player $9 million, but you're, then you're over the luxury tax. So how are they going to handle, you think, just free agency in general? Is there players that you think that, because you do need to have a certain amount of veteran guys, and you think about Bogut, Jarepko, all the guys that are going to be exiting, maybe possibly even Livingston, what do you do to kind of fill that void?
Well, I think the key guy is DeMarcus. And the rumor about Al Horford, you know, when he opted out the other day in Boston, and he opted out at over $30 million, which was staggering to me. I'll be interested to see if he gets anywhere near that. Now, he'll offset it by getting a longer-term contract, but I don't think he's going to get 30 a year. But the initial reaction was the Celtics would bring him back. If Boston was in the Anthony Davis trade sweepstakes, then maybe they'd let Horford go, but obviously Davis has already been traded to the Lakers. So I thought Horford would come back, but the reports we're hearing now is that Donnie Nelson, Rick Carlisle, and Mark Cuban may go after Al Horford. I thought Dallas would go after Cousins. So maybe they want Horford, certainly a healthier player, a more well-rounded player. I mean, DeMarcus is a good player, but Horford is a much better defensive player, passes the ball similarly to DeMarcus. You put him on the floor with Luka and Porzingis. I mean, look at the passing ability you would have on that front line would be incredible. And I don't even know what, you know, Doncic is a guard, but he lines up and he guards, you know, front line guys. So that would be amazing. But the point is, from our perspective, if Dallas doesn't take DeMarcus Cousins, it's quite possible. Who knows? It's a lot of things have to happen. There's a lot of good free agents. But I think the key guy here is Cousins. And if you could bring him back on the 120% from the 5.3 mid-level exception for the taxpayer last year, and he gets up to 6.4, then you still have the additional mid-level exception to use this year at 5.7. So you can get a couple players there. But if Cousins leaves, then really you only have that spot. Maybe the injured player, whatever it's called, exception, designated injured player, whatever it is, for $9 million. But that, you know, that way, if you do bring Durant back, even if he does not opt out or you're somehow able to re-sign Durant, does he not have to miss the entire year? I'm not sure you want to make that decision now. Even for a player of $9 million, I'd rather have Kevin Durant coming off an injury and available to me maybe in May if we're able to make the second round of the playoffs. So many variables, but I think the key thing, you know, they'll draft today, and they've been preparing for this, and I think their wants are going to change a little bit in light of the injuries. But DeMarcus is the key guy. If somehow he could come back to you at 6.4, that would allow you to still add a second player with that mid-level.
Greg Papa with us here on 95.7 The Game. Papa, I'm sure you saw the news. The Warriors swung a trade with the Hawks earlier today. They picked up Atlanta's second-round pick, number 41 overall, in exchange for $1.3 million and a second-round pick in 2024. So the Warriors are now sitting on number 28 in the first round, as well as numbers 41 and 58 in the second round. What is it you think they're looking for? Not necessarily a specific player, but what attributes, what skill sets?
It's hard to say. I mean, last year they wanted wings who could guard. Now you want a wing that can guard. You lost Klay Thompson. So you got to get size in the backcourt to help Steph. But you also lost Klay Thompson. He's one of the best shooters in the NBA and a catch-and-shoot guy. So, I honestly, and Bob used the phrase that we hate this time of the year, but the best available. They got to get players here that can come in and play. And if you bring Cousins back, you don't know if you are going to bring Cousins back. So it's flipped. You know, in football, free agency comes first, you draft after. I like the way basketball does it, but there's so much uncertainty in free agency. You don't know if Cousins is coming back, so do you want a big here? You're going to bring back, obviously, Damian Jones is under contract. I think they're going to find a way to bring Looney back. I would hope they would bring Jordan Bell back, as up and down as this past year. Anybody you can bring back by the rules of the CBA that are relatively inexpensive, I think you need to do that. So if Cousins comes back, I don't think you need a big. But if he doesn't, you do. So it is so much uncertainty. So they need everything. I think partly what they're looking at, and I'm not sure how many open spots they're going to have. Are they going to keep the 15th spot open on the roster for Bogut to come back and do the whole go to Australia, finish up with the Sydney Kings, come back to us in the springtime. That'll depend on how what, you know, what kind of a one-loss record the Warriors have. Correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, Clay and if Kevin re-signs, they have to be on your 15-man roster, right? They're, even though they're hurt, you just don't take them off the roster. So you're only going to have 13 spots, I would believe. If you kept a 15th open, you'd have 12. I think partly what they may be thinking with acquiring 41 from Travis Schlenk and Rod Higgins, and essentially they bought it, and they're going to give them a second-round pick next year, is maybe to be able to take either 58 and 41 and move up, or take 41 and 28 and move up, or take them all, put all three in a deal, and move up ahead of 28 if you're looking, if you're eyeing a certain player that's still there in the 20s that you think, you know, you had higher. The issue, you know, some of this is based on, like, I think Travis had 3 1s and 3 2s. You like, you know, youth, but you don't want too much of it. You know, you're not going to put 5 or 6 rookies on the roster. That's ridiculous. And they're extremely young anyway. You know, it's a young team with Trae Young and John Collins, and they're young. So you look at some of the teams that we already identified Atlanta as a team because they have an abundance of draft capital, a ridiculous amount, and there's a relationship there with, obviously, Travis Schlenk. So I'm not sure what they're thinking, that they could do any scenario, but I think they may be just to use that chip, let the draft unfold, and they could take 41 and 58 and move up. They could take 41 and 28 and move up. You know, now they got a poker chip, and Joe likes to play poker. To be able to move around the draft board depending on, you know, where players they like are still available or not.
How much of this is driven by the fact that they're going into Chase Center and they need to keep this product to be as appealing and as attractive as possible?
Well, I think people are committed to the seats, and the business partnerships are already in place. I mean, they're not going to just, you know, show up and sell it. They've been doing this for a long, long time. I actually think if there was... You kind of need the Chase Center this year to deflect our attention from the product. And we're assuming maybe they'll overachieve. You don't know. But you've lost, you know, 50 points a game and great defense. Two of the best players in the league. Two of your Hamptons, five are gone. So you just got gaping holes here. You know, I think they'll hover around 500. But I think this is a good time to go to the Chase Center to divert our attention from... If they were playing one more year at Oracle and you didn't have these players, I think it'd be more difficult. But now, just the newness of the new building and everything, and I haven't seen it finished inside. Michael Wilbon was on the show a little while ago, and he said it's way better than the Dallas Palace, AT&T in Dallas, in Arlington. So, I mean, that's amazing to me that it's better than that. It's the best stadium I've ever been in, even better than the new Yankee Stadium. It's incredible. So, I think you kind of need the Chase Center, and I know there's different feelings on each side of the bay about leaving the East Bay for the West Bay, but I think in light of, you know, not having Durant and Clay, it's probably a good thing that we'll all be diverted and be able to concentrate on other things, and not so much the winning and losing, but just the new building.
Get a load of this lineup for today. Noon to 3 p.m., Papa, Bonte Hill, Dickie V, 12:30, as well as Bob Myers and Kirk Lakeup. Pop, you got a big show in store today. We look forward to hearing it. More importantly, thank you for coming on today. We appreciate it, as always.
I remember working with Dickie V in Indiana when I was a diaper dandy. Now, Depends. I'm a Depends dandy. From a diaper dandy to a Depends dandy.
Incredible.
Good stuff. Thanks, Pop.
Take care, guys.
You're the best, Pop.
I think he was 21 when he was doing play-by-play for the Pacers.
It's incredible. It never that nugget about him, and there are several that fascinate me. That's the one I think that will never cease to amaze me, that he was calling games for a professional sports team at the age of 21. Amazing. I couldn't even find my way home from the bar at 21, and I'm not kidding. There were a couple times the campus security at Penn State was not thrilled with where they found me. Sorry. Looking at the ID, where's your address? Right here. Why are you over here? I'm on my way home. This is not the direction. Really?
Help a brother out. Give me a ride.
How about a ride? Yeah. How about a citation? I shouldn't have said that out loud. I don't think my parents ever actually found out about that.
Sorry about that.
It's on me.
It's interesting because I think Pop was kind of in the same church, and maybe he was on the same crew talking about, hey.
He was on your lap.
Yeah.
Take those three picks, package them together, trade up. Something that Dibs poo-pooed all over earlier today, Dibs.
Yeah, it's funny how we have Pop on for 17 minutes, and the one thing that Lowe actually listens to and attaches himself to is the one thing that Pop threw out as a wild hypothetical that happened to agree with something that Lowe had said.
Wow.
17 minutes worth of interview, and it's funny. To me, it's really the amusing part of this job.
Is it not really true sentiment, though? The idea of taking these three picks, packaging them, and moving up. What's Zion Williamson, ladies and gentlemen, who says no. 28, 58, right. 41.
I think
one.
New Orleans says no. And we can play this game all the way down the draft board of who says no. I don't think any of the teams in the top three would get off those players.
27 would say yes.
Yeah, 27. Yeah, so go ahead and take 28, 41, and 58 and package those to move up one spot.
So we've got a yes now with 26 to it.
Probably not, Joe.
You don't think?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Yeah, and I'm only saying that so we can stop this cockamamie bit.
But no, 26 would probably do it. Probably be it. It might get you as far as 20. But here's the thing that I wanted you to realize when you say it's just cockamamie and what Lowe's clings onto that. What's tonight? The draft, right?
Oh, yeah, draft. As so, well as Bumgarner versus Muncy.
That is hot.
No, because he's saying that's the only thing that I took away from it. No, that is the what is approaching us the quickest right now? The draft. So that's why I took that, and I was just trying to make conversation. We do radio, so with all due respect, Daniel, I wasn't trying to just cling on to what Papa's saying. I was just thinking, because tonight is the draft, so that had a lot of bearing on what our conversation was about. That's
it was one of the two notes I wrote down from the interview. It was
wow.
one of the two.
Wow, yeah. Thank you.
The other was this.
Right. And I'm sure you wrote it down for the express purpose of being able to goad him into taking a shot at me.
Certainly part
knowing
of it.
Full well
certainly
how the show works.
Yeah. As soon as he said that, I looked at Lowe, and I was like, yep, let's make that note.
Make a note of that right there.
I'm not here to fight.
Note number two, though. Let's go to note number two. Note number two, legitimate.
I will put a close on number one and say we will find out tonight.
Comment. It's not going to be a clown comment.
We will find out tonight if they move up. If they're able to package picks and move up, then kudos to you and kudos to Greg Papa. I think that it's a mighty stretch when you're dealing with pick 58. You look at the history of pick 58 in the NBA. Not a lot of those guys ever amount to much. So these second round picks in the NBA aren't worth a whole lot.
Mighty stretch. Mount Mighty Moore. Mighty Mouse. Mighty Mighty Ballstones. Who else would be on Mount Mighty Moore?
Yeah.
Think it through. Yeah. Think it through as I pose a question for you.
Yes.
Better professional sports offseason, NBA or NFL? Draft, free agency, is there another element to an offseason? If we do schedule release, it's really going to tip in the NFL's favor because no one cares about the schedule in any sport except the NFL.
I think coaching,
like Christmas Day.
Coaching carousel you would add in there because Black
carousel.
Monday in the NFL is awesome. When you, I mean, except for the six or seven people who lose their job.
Yeah, but I mean, it's
from
not,
the standpoint
wow.
of us,
Daniel.
No one dies. Okay, you've never been fired. I have. So
I
there you go. You've been
fired.
Cut. Maybe
the Jets fired him.
That's fired.
Didn't they trade you, the Jets?
You're right. It's traded. But I've been...
It's quite different.
Forced your way out of Tennessee, so that's not firing.
No. Retired from the Raiders. It's not firing.
Have you ever been fired?
Tennessee? Yeah, Tennessee. They fired me. They cut me. So that's fired.
Okay. So he went to a Super Bowl and then got fired.
Well, point being, Black Monday, we all look forward to Black Monday to see who ends up losing their job. Don't deny it. We all look forward to it. So that's a part of it. The answer to your question is the NFL offseason, still superior. The NBA is catching up. But the NFL is still better.
Is it catching up because you had a big player in Kevin Durant, all the stuff the guys were, or is it catching up? I don't think it's catching up. I think the NFL is far better because of the fact they let their veteran guys that have some substance in this league, that's busted a grape in this league, let them go to the market first instead of, you know, predicating on just the rookies. And I think that's why the NFL does far better. So now teams, and then you look forward to that draft to see what their team didn't get. So I like think the NFL is far better. It's more of a show. They do a lot better. I mean, it's a whole. It's just we're leading up to the free agency. Everything is just at the high.
You're more likely to get a big time
crushes it.
You get you're more likely to get it. Don't put your hand up like that dismissively. If you look at star players being traded in the NFL, you don't often see a star player being traded. Yet Anthony Davis was recently traded. I know you were gone. You may have missed that. From a free agency standpoint. When you see someone of the caliber of Kevin Durant, who is going to be a free agent, Kyrie Irving, you look at all the top players in the NBA, these guys are being made available. In the NFL, it's not really that much of a case. You don't hear Aaron Rodgers clamoring for free agency. These guys get locked up by their teams.
Do you like it, though? Do you like the idea? Because remember, with that, which is very exciting, also comes the, well, we're going to talk about it all year. And there are a lot of people that, well, I just want to talk about the games. Sorry, this is a story. Durant's going to be a free agent. Klay's going to be a free agent. LeBron's headed for free agency. That becomes a story, a cloud hanging over the season all year. In the NFL, you have an idea of guys who are in contract years, but that's never a primary story over the course of the season. Like, you're never really just focusing on, well, you know, he's going to be gone after this year. What are they going to do? We really just kind of have it as a subtle footnote, and then we address it in the offseason.
Absolutely.
That's the dominance of the NFL on Sundays.
You go to Pittsburgh and say that when you've had back-to-back off seasons littered by the fact that Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell are holding your franchise hostage. So I would give you that as a counterpoint, depending on
the norm, or would that be the outlier? Le'Veon Bell sitting out a whole season has happened how many times?
It's happened a few times, but still you see, nice parrot. Are you from the tropics?
Let's just reel it back in.
No, no, it's too late. It's too late. This horse is out of the barn. It is war. We gave him a one segment pass, and it's back to guns blazing.
Doesn't the biggest problem for the NBA? There's two of them.
War.
When it comes to being up against the NFL in this number one, the NBA will never be able to come close to competing with the NFL from a draft perspective, and there are multiple issues in that. One, nobody knows who any of the NBA guys are. Nobody. Like, you don't know these guys. You know Zion, and you've probably heard of R.J. Barrett, but the hardcore college basketball fan is not like the hardcore college football fan. And you don't have as much time to focus on this. The NFL spends the beginning of January through April educating you on all these guys. Like, if you're interested in an offensive lineman and you're picking at 26th, your fan base is well aware of like five offensive linemen out there that you could be drafting. Quarterbacks, obvious. Running backs, wide receiver, skill positions, obvious. But if it's going to be an O-lineman, like with the Niners last year, how many times were we talking about Quentin Nelson and Mike McGlinchey and all those guys? Overboard. Plus, they put on a huge show. The NBA, you got up there, two, three names are called. You don't know the rest of them. Most of those guys don't end up hitting anyway. The other big issue, the NBA seems as if it's a big offseason. But it's, I think, because we live on social media. And if you live on social media, you're more inclined to believe the NBA is more popular than it truly is. How many people are really going to be focused on the draft tonight? We're focused on it because it's our profession and because we're lucky enough to live and talk about the best basketball team on the planet. But if you're in just average town USA, if you're in, say, Nashville, right? Or if you're in, I don't know, insert city here. How stoked are you about the draft tonight? Like, even in Chicago, are you that fired up about the Bulls picking 7 tonight? Is that a huge ordeal for you? Are you that excited if you're the Suns in Phoenix, or are you looking at Kyler Murray? So the NBA, I think, they've done a great job with social media, but that's where it ends. I don't think the news really gets that far outside to anybody else. Whereas the NFL, I think everyone is kind of at least aware of what's happening.
They have a friggin' – they make it an event. You look at the NBA draft, Joe, you're 1,000% right. You look at Nashville, Tennessee, Daniel. They had over 100,000 people there. It was friggin' unbelievable what they did, the way they put on a show.
What are you doing?
What?
Why are you getting so mad?
I'm not. We're done. We're here.
There's
there.
So many physical theatrics today.
The way he uses my name, it just is so disrespectful. It just makes my blood curdle.
Right.
You asked me a question.
Yeah,
I'm giving you
it.
The answer. It makes my skin crawl. It makes my blood curdle.
I just came back today.
So dismissive
over.
And so demeaning.
Mark Spears on the top prospects
with all due respect.
For the Warriors. Next, as we take a break, we will be live, so you can watch this Poo Fest play out on 957thegame.com. Back at a flash, Joe Lowe-Dibs, 957 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.